9, first of all. Verses 43 through 45, and then you can keep your finger there, and then we're going to go to Luke 18, 31 through 34. First of all, Luke chapter 9, verses 43 through 45. And they were amazed at the majesty of God, but while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But when they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Then go to Luke chapter 18, if you would please. Very similar context. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. And they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This thing was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for Dr. Luke, who is recording the teaching and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we realize again that as he is writing this, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Father, may our hearts be open to what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Have you ever struggled to understand a subject or maybe a teacher and you just didn't get it? I flash back to my elementary school, and I remember when I was being taught math that I grasped arithmetic, division, multiplication. In fact, I did extremely well in the basics of arithmetic. And then I went into junior high school and we started taking algebra. And my brain did not handle algebra at all. I struggled with that. I struggled with the teacher. And I remember I had a meeting with him and he said, "What's wrong with you? How come you just can't get it?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe it's your fault." No, I didn't say that. I felt like saying that. He said, "Well, let's meet and let's get together and I'll try to explain to you some of the..." You know, algebra is where you get those equations. Do you remember? And if you don't grasp those, it can be very confusing. And math is a science that builds on it. So once you begin to not understand a certain aspect of it, you're in trouble for the rest of your instruction in arithmetic. But I want you to know, I have the basics of arithmetic. I can add, I can subtract, I can multiply, and I can divide. But don't ask me to do any more, because then I get into trouble. And my wife is the mathematician in her family, and she balances our checkbook and does a great job in that. Because if I did it, it'd probably be messed up, even though I can do the basics. Well, in the Synoptic Gospels, what does that word mean? It means that they are similar, they parallel each other. Matthew, Mark, and Luke predicted 3 times that Jesus was going to suffer. He was going to go to Jerusalem. He'd be delivered up to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And they would torture him and eventually hand him over to the Romans to be killed. 3 times. Now we're going to look at Luke's gospel because I find it interesting that Luke, he mentions, let's go back to chapter 9, verse 43, because he's going to add a comment that the other gospel writers do not add. And this will give us some insight into why the disciples didn't fully understand why Jesus had to suffer and die. Verse 44 of chapter 9, we read again, "Let these words sink down into your ears." Interesting phrase, isn't it? Let these words sink down into your ears. Do you remember Jesus would say, "He who has ears, let him hear"? Do you remember that? We all have ears, but we don't always hear. And I remember again when I was a young boy, my mother would yell at me, Stan, did you hear me? Yes? What did I say? Could you repeat yourself? I really wasn't paying attention, and I wasn't listening the first time. And then she usually accelerated in her emotion because she'd use my full name. Most of you may not know this, but my full name is Staten. And then I'd hear my mother say, Staten, and then my middle name is Hugh. Staten Hugh, did you hear me? Well, I do now. Hard not to hear you, Mom. You're shouting. Well, Jesus is saying to his disciples, let the words sink down into your ears. That means let them go down from your ears into your heart so that you may understand what I'm about to teach you. So I pray this morning that you want to let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. And then Luke adds this. But they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Well, let's look at that first phrase. They did not understand this saying. And we may answer this quickly, but we don't want to do that. We want to understand fully what the scriptures are saying. We could say that, well, maybe they weren't paying attention. Have you ever had that problem when someone was preaching or someone was teaching you that you were daydreaming? Have you ever had that experience? You weren't paying attention. You weren't focusing. You weren't locked in to what was being said. I know that all of you have done that. I wasn't the only one daydreaming in my classroom. I know that you probably did that too. You were thinking about, what would you be daydreaming about today sitting in here? Well, maybe about the snow melting. Daydreaming about green again. Are you folks ready to see green grass again?
No.
No. What's wrong with you? You know, I like snow, but I love spring when the snow begins to melt and we begin to see the green pastures of home. So, they didn't understand. This word understand has a meaning of putting a puzzle together. One of the things I've done this particular winter, because it's been so cold outside and so much snow, is that I've been putting together puzzles for the first time in my life. I started out with a 300-word. I graduated to 500-word. And now I'm up to 1,000. 1,000 pieces. And I can tell you, I finally achieved the 1,000 with my wife's help. Because she would stay up at night. And I was in bed by about 9 o'clock. She would stay up till 12 o'clock and work on it. And I'd get up in the morning and work on it. But by the time I got up in the morning, she had done a lot of work on that thing. And so we finally accomplished it. But then someone in this church gave me this 1,000-word puzzle that is all green practically. And they gave it to me. I think they wanted to get rid of it. Right? They said, well, Pastor, since you're into that puzzle thing, why don't you take this green puzzle here? Well, when I say green, it's, oh, man, it's almost all green. Isn't that right, Gene? I haven't attempted it yet, but I looked at the picture of it, and I think I'm going to throw it out because I think that one's going to do me in. But these disciples, they were puzzled. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to them, and we are that way sometimes also. And then the next phrase we have, and it was hidden from them. It was hidden from them, concealed from them. We have to understand that this probably wasn't the right timing for them to enter into some understanding, because God was involved in this whole process. Just like God is always teaching us, always trying to instruct us, and many times we're not ready to receive it. Are you aware of that this morning? Sometimes we're just not there. Our mind isn't capable of understanding, and it's hidden from us until we get further revelation and further understanding. So that they might not perceive it. This word perceive has this idea of fully entering into it, understanding, putting the last piece of the puzzle in, and having the ability to move forward with the knowledge that has been communicated to them. And then finally we read, and they were afraid to ask him about the saying. Have you been in a classroom setting before and you didn't understand what the teacher was saying? And you were afraid to raise your hand because you didn't want to appear what? What? dumb. Well, not a correct word, but I know the other word is not good either. But I can remember so often sitting in a classroom, and I was afraid to raise my hand because of all the other students around me. I thought, if I do, I'm going to let them know that I'm a fool. I don't understand. Well, the truth is, maybe there were others in the classroom that didn't understand either. You know what it says in the book of Proverbs? That even a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. It's true. It's when you open your mouth that you disclose that maybe you're not as wise as you think you are. And you reveal yourself sometimes to be a fool. And all of us, I'm sure, have done that. We should not be afraid to ask a question when we don't understand something. And the disciples were afraid to ask Jesus the question. What they should have done right there was pause and say, wait a minute, Lord, can you say that again? And can you explain to us a little bit more? But even then, they probably wouldn't fully understand at this point in time in the life of Jesus, in their life of following him. And we'll see that as we look at some of the responses to Jesus' predictions, confirming again that they didn't get it. I love Peter. One of the reasons why I love Peter is because he was the first to open up his mouth. So let's look at the life of Peter, because this is a guy who really never got it until the end. But all of the disciples really didn't catch hold of what Jesus was saying until the end. But let's look at the life of Jesus as we go through the Gospels in his interaction, especially with Peter. The first thing that I want to read to you, and you don't have to turn in your scriptures to this, but Peter was the first one to confess that Jesus was the Messiah of the other disciples. So listen to this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, who do they say that I am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a confession. You are the Son, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." The word Bar there means son. Simon, who is the son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Sometimes we don't understand things because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to us yet. I don't know how many times individuals come to me as a pastor and they say, "I just can't understand the Bible. It's so hard. It's so difficult to understand it." And I say to them, it can be difficult, but one of the things we must do is ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to open our hearts and minds to it, because he's the author of the Bible, and things are spiritually appraised. They're not in our understanding, not from a human perspective. They're spiritual, so we need the Holy Spirit's help to open up our hearts and minds, don't we? We can't do it ourselves. I remember when I was at seminary, and I was learning Hebrew and Greek and all of these things, and I often would go to my professor and say, "Why do we have to learn all of this?" He said, "Well, it's not going to hurt you, first of all. And secondly, it's going to assist you in your understanding of the Scriptures, because it was written originally Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. And so when you learn the basic languages that were used back during that time, it's going to help you open up the Scriptures. It's going to help you understand." But then the professor would always add this. He said, "It's not just an academic process." He said, "It's a spiritual process too. You need to ask the Lord to open up your heart so that you might have understanding." Because there are a lot of pastors today who have an intellectual understanding, but they don't have the spiritual understanding. Are you aware of that today? In pulpits and churches today, they could stand up and they could give probably the greatest sermon ever, but it may not be from the Word of God, and it may not be from a spiritual perspective. And so we need the assistance of the Holy Spirit in helping us understand and enter into what Christ is doing. God revealed that to Peter. And then I love Peter's response in Matthew 16, 22 and 23. It says this, "Then Peter took him aside." That was after Jesus made his prediction I believe it was his first prediction that he was going up to Jerusalem to suffer. And Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." What Peter was saying is, "Well, wait a minute here, Lord. This is not what we had in mind. Far be it from you. You're not going to go to Jerusalem and suffer. No way." He was almost saying, "Stop this. Don't even say anymore, because this is not what I had in mind." And truly, Jesus' response to him was this. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what he called Peter. "You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Oh, so many times we are about the things of men and not about the things of God. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that potential in all of us? We're all about the things of men and not about the things of God. We all struggle with that, don't we? Well, Lord, help us have our minds on the things of you and not on the things of us. Then I love it when Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And you're familiar with this. We're coming up on Easter. And so we read in Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written.'" Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked his disciples to go there with him, to pray with him, as he was about to enter in to the passion for us. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." You know some of the things we should never say? Never or always. And here's Peter opening his mouth. "Lord, never. Not me." Do you know what you're doing when you say that? You're setting yourself up to stumble. We have an enemy. And you paint a bullseye around yourself when you say, it's never going to happen to me. It might happen to all the other 11 disciples, but not me, Lord. You can count on me. Okay, Peter, let's read the rest of the story. Jesus said, "But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Isn't it interesting? Jesus made his prediction three times, and Peter's going to deny Jesus three times? Listen to his denial as we enter into understanding this. Well, before we get to his denial, we understand that he fled just like the rest of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, 56, we read this. Jesus, again speaking, said, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." They all forsook him. They fled. They were worried about their own lives. Jesus was being arrested, and they all ran away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're going to get to Peter's denial, a very familiar story to you. But we want to enter into this again, because if you say it'll never happen to you, guess what, Peter? It's going to happen to you. Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, I understand he's at the court of the high priest Caiaphas, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them. Your speech betrays you. You talk like a Galilean. We know you're one of them." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed, And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him. Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. He realized, he remembered what Jesus had said. This is the first recollection of this prediction that Jesus had made three times. And now finally Peter is beginning to understand, but Peter had to fall. You know why Peter had to fall? Because it was all about Peter. That's why. It wasn't about Christ at this point. It was about Peter. Because he was willing to say, if even all are made to stumble, not me, Lord. In fact, I'm willing to die with you. Yes, right, Peter. But Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, that's the life of Peter. And he's a prime example to us, maybe, of why he didn't get it. But he's going to get it. He's going to understand as the story continues. And then I think of the other 11 disciples, because they were part of this whole thing. So after Jesus, one of his predictions, you know what the other disciples decided to do? They decided to argue about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Right after he predicted his suffering, they enter into this discussion about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Really? Where are you guys in your thinking and processing this? Truly, you don't understand anything about what the Messiah had to do and what the Messiah had come to do. It's interesting that as they understood that and didn't understand it, that Jesus was going to be faithful to them in spite of it. And Jesus was going to help them through all of this. And eventually, they too are going to get it. Do you remember James and John, the disciples? What was their nickname? The sons of thunder. They put their mother up to this. Doesn't remind me of sons of thunder, does it to you? They put their mother up to going to Jesus after he made one of his predictions, and you'll read that not in Luke's gospel, another one, or maybe it's in Luke's gospel. I think it is. They put their mother up to going to Jesus and asking Jesus if her sons could sit on the right hand, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. Doesn't sound like they're too bold, does it? Sounds like they're a little bit sheepish and ashamed. They put their mother up to it. Interesting sometimes how we respond to the word of God and to what God has predicted and what is going to come true. So, let's get back to my primary notes here. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't they get it? Well, probably because they couldn't handle it yet. It's just like us in our journey with Christ. If we knew everything that we were going to go through before we even began to sign up with the Lord, we'd probably say, well, maybe we should reconsider this. Did you know that a lot of Christians suffer for their faith? Are you aware of that? There are a lot of believers that suffer for their faith in Jesus Christ. Around the world today, it's unprecedented the amount of persecution that is taking place. Now, we don't suffer like them. Are you aware of that? We don't suffer Christian persecution, but the day may be coming because as we read the paper and as we watch television, we can see that there is a hostility developing against Christianity in our country that, again, is unparalleled. And so someday we may be persecuted. And if we are persecuted, are we going to deny the Lord? Are we going to deny him? I hope not. I hope we'll stand firm in faith and look to the Lord to help us get through it. God was revealing himself step by step, and he does that so often in our life. We don't understand everything, do we? Do we know what tomorrow holds? No, but we know who holds tomorrow, which is our security. Is our Father a good, good Father? God is good all the time. And in his providence, so many times he allows us to go through experiences in life that we don't fully grasp and understand. But then by his grace, we somehow make it through it. And then we look back and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for helping me through it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. You see, it's much easier sometimes to go through a time of testing and trial, just like those disciples. And God has given us so many promises, but in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of what's going on in our lives, we forget. We don't remember. And then the Holy Spirit brings the words back to us, just like he did for the apostles. And God's word stands firm because he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there for us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So no matter where you are, maybe you're like the disciples right now. This whole thing about Easter doesn't make any sense to you. Maybe the suffering of Jesus doesn't make any sense to you. Why did Jesus have to suffer? Why did he have to die? Well, we know it was for our sin. There is no other way for us to be saved other than Christ going to the cross and laying down his life, the just for the unjust, that we might receive the free gift of salvation. We're looking back. The Old Testament believers look forward to that moment in time when Jesus hung between heaven and earth and poured out his life, an offering, a sacrificial offering for you and for me. And I hope you understand that this morning, because if you don't understand that, you're not saved. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and that's why Jesus suffered and died. The scriptures say he bore in his own body on the tree our sin. He took our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, that we might live for him. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. And I look at these disciples, and I look at them, and I see myself. Do you see yourself? We're just like them. We don't always remember. We don't always understand. We don't always perceive. Some things are concealed from us until the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. And then, hallelujah, we understand. See, the disciples finally got it. You know, in John chapter 21, I love again Peter, because Jesus had appeared to them some, but now this is his last appearance to them. And, well, not his last, but one of the last. And Peter was wondering what he's going to do now that his Messiah had died. And you know what Peter's response was? Let's go fishing. Well, what do fishermen do? Now, Jesus is gone. Let's go fishing. And a number of other men went along with them. And they're out there fishing all night. They caught nothing. And then they see this man on the shore. And he says, throw down your net on the right side of the boat. Well, we've been out here all night, you know, but they did what the man said. They didn't recognize Jesus yet. So they threw their net on the other side of the boat. And they began to catch so many fish that the net was breaking and they could hardly pull it in. Well, you remember Peter's response at that moment, don't you? Lord, is that you? And Jesus spoke to him, and it says that Peter took off his robe, dove into the water, and swam to shore. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord meets us where we are, that he is patient and loving, and he doesn't cast us away even when we blow it? You can't believe what that did for Peter. It was a reconciliation again with his Savior and Lord. Jesus is so loving and patient with all of us. He doesn't just cast us away. He continues to teach us and to admonish us and instruct us about who he is and about what he's going to do for us. Well, my friend, I just want to make an application here. There are many people who come to our church and they don't get it. They haven't got it. So what do we do with them? We lovingly, patiently preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Holy Spirit's power, maybe one day they'll get it. See, it's the Lord who saves. We don't save. It's the Lord who saves. But we don't throw them out of church. I've heard of individuals who have gone to church practically all their life and they never really got it. But one day they got it. They got it. Have you folks got it today? You can answer me if you want to. I was going to ask for hands, but then you might be afraid to raise your hand. but you're afraid to even speak up. It's okay if you speak up. With the mouth you make confession, and with the heart you believe to salvation. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you're a loving, patient teacher. And we realize again, as you dealt with the disciples, that we're like them, Father, in so many ways. We just pray for your grace and mercy in our lives today as we continue to look to you. As our lives unfold and as our futures unfold, may we realize that we are in your hand. And you are our Lord, you are our Savior, and you are our guide. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.